Welcome to Fireside Financial. Together, Joe Curry and Regan Schiller offer and discuss insights and advice on all aspects of retirement planning. So grab a cup of coffee or tea, sit back and join us by the fireside as we explore all the topics related to planning for your retirement.
All right. Welcome to another episode of Fireside Financial with myself, Joe Curry, and my co-host, Regan Schiller. How are you, Regan?
Not too bad. It's good to see you. We were talking just before we hit the record button here, but it's been a few months since you and I had a chance to do a recording. So I'm looking forward to getting back into it now that, for myself anyways, the busy season of RSP is over and I'm able to focus on these a little bit more now.
Yeah, me too. I'm looking forward to it. And today we're going to chat a little bit about grandparents. A lot of our listeners are grandparents. So how can grandparents kind of educate their grandkids on money and how can they contribute to their financial future? We've talked about this in different ways in past episodes, Regan. And we've talked a lot about helping kids out with down payments on homes and things like that. So this one, I thought we could focus a little bit more on the grandkids and really teaching. And you know, one of the things we'll talk about today is teaching the value of money.
Absolutely. Yeah.
And maybe before we get into the teaching about money, it's one of the points I have here is questions we get around how can we financially contribute to our grandchildren's future? And on the same hand, how do we make sure we're not spoiling or kind of creating a sense of entitlement? So I have a couple of points on that. Do you have anything you want to start with, Regan?
Well, I mean, if we're talking about the value of money and depending on the age of the kid, I think we've all heard that phrase that money doesn't grow on trees. Over and over again, at least I did when I was a kid, when you'd ask for something, that was the typical response from my parents. And obviously kids can understand that money doesn't grow on trees. So I think maybe getting more into like exactly where does money come from or what does it represent or how do you get it and what can you buy with money is a good starting point with that.
Yeah, for sure. So there's definitely having those conversations. And one of the things we talked a little bit about off screen is also how are we spending money on our grandkids? So maybe instead of it always being buying a toy so the kids want to come over and see us, maybe it's spending money on things like experiences. So they're not always getting something specific that they can hold on to, you know, expecting they're going to get every toy that they want. But you're still creating memories. And these are also creating opportunities to spend time together where you can have more of these conversations. Because I think the more quality time that we're able to spend with grandkids is the more they're going to open up and we'll be able to have those deeper conversations like what's the value of money?
Yeah, absolutely. I think a good exercise that a person talking about an experience is if you're with your grandkids or whatever the case may be, you could do even simple exercises at a grocery store even by asking them how much you think this particular item is worth and taking the opportunity to explain why it's valued at what it is. So this could be, all right, well, if you want to have a loaf of bread, and let's say that loaf of bread is a day old, what would be the value of that? And how much more would you be willing to pay for fresh bread? So give them the understanding of why something might be valued more than another, because obviously it's fresher, it's going to taste better, and therefore if they could charge more.
Yeah. And again, like you said, everything depends on the age of the kids, but helping them understand what a budget looks like and maybe helping them understand, you know, there's only so much money to go around and kind of breaking that down into different subsections, so to speak. And it could be your own budget. Here's how much it costs us to stay in our house and be able to live. Here's how much it is for our groceries. Here's how much it is for the travel that we do or whatever it is. And helping them see there's so much to go around. And this is how much some of these different categories are taking up. So at the end of the day, when we look at it, there's not that much left over to just be able to do or buy whatever we want.
Yeah, absolutely. So are you speaking more to understanding of the risk of overspending if you're not paying attention to the budget?
Yeah. And also it speaks a little bit to the value of money. But I think that when we go in to a store or, you know, we tell our kids or grandkids, we have X number of dollars to spend. Like there's nothing really to tie that to, right? So you give an example of fresh bread versus like bread off the shelf. So taking it kind of a step further is, well, what does buying bread mean to whatever else we need to buy or want to buy while we're getting groceries, right? So kind of giving the bigger picture of understanding. So living, you know, within our means is understanding how much there is to go around and that every time we buy something, whether it's a toy or bread or whatever it is, that then is taking resources away from what's left for whatever else we need next or whatever else we want to do.
Yeah.
So just kind of helping people understand or helping kids understand what's the value of money relative to what we actually have to spend. Does that make sense?
Absolutely. Yeah. No, I would agree. I think something that you could look at doing, and this could be kind of a fun exercise, again, depending on the age of the child, but let's say you do go to a grocery store and there is a list of things that we need to get. Well, maybe give them the $100, $100 or whatever. Maybe with inflation, you might need to give them $200.
Yeah.
Basically, let them go out and pick the items out and do the calculations themselves if they're able to. And at the end of their shopping list, if there's money left over, maybe that's the money that they could use for candies. But explain to them that if they want to go buy candy right away and spend all that money, they might not have money for the essentials that they need. Again, kind of tying back to the value of their dollars and what they're designated for. And if it is all spent on candy, we're not going to be able to put food on the table.
Yeah, that's a great point. So we talked about teaching the value of money, or we talked about the value of money. We talked a bit about living within a budget, or kind of understanding what a budget looks like. So like, there's a perfect example that you just used about trying to put dinner on the table. Now, if we are trying to contribute to our grandkids' financial future, what are some ways that we can do that? You know, just gifting cash versus other potential opportunities.
Well, obviously, yeah, gifting money, it's not going to be taxable to the kids, of course, as it's a gift. I think there's nothing wrong with doing that. And that, I guess, would be a living legacy of some kind. But I think if you're just randomly wanting to give them money, I'm not sure if, again, depending on the age of the kid, I'm not sure if that's necessarily going to be in their best interest. But if you're gifting them money with purpose, maybe they're 12 and one day they're going to want to buy a car. So you could gift them some money and maybe use that as an opportunity to try and educate the kid about investing and how debts work or credit cards and those types of things. The use of those dollars in the future for this car would mean that they wouldn't have to borrow any money for their vehicle if that was the case. And there's a lot of good little learning opportunities in there that I think you could start educating kids about.
Yeah, I think that's a great example. I think the one that comes to mind right away for me as talking to clients would be helping fund post-secondary education, right? So putting money towards something like that as opposed to more material things. But I love that example you just gave, because that's really a lesson where you could start that pretty young. Like we were talking again off screen, you know, you're already talking about saving versus spending right now with your 8-year-old and opening up an investment account. So even if you're talking to a 10 or a 12-year-old, this could be an example where you can teach them about the value of investing, the value of money, by letting them know that you're going to help them purchase a vehicle. But instead of buying them the vehicle they want when they're 16 or whenever you're going to buy it, you're going to give them a certain amount of money every year, every month. And that's going to be what helps them purchase their car. And then you're going to educate them how they can invest that, how they can put that away to save. But at the end of the day, whatever is available when they're 16, that's what they get towards a car. And beyond that, they have to come up with the difference on their own. That's, I never thought about that, but just listening to you, that's kind of an interesting.
It's one of the ways that you could gift, but give a gift that has more lasting effects than just the money itself. Because those lessons that kids would learn at a young age, like those lessons can basically save a child in the future, financially speaking, by equipping them with the knowledge around money to make better decisions in the future when you're not around and you don't have a, you know, any influence on how they make their decisions with how they spend their money.
Yeah, absolutely.
One of the things that we do with our 8-year-old, my daughter's a little bit too young yet to get any of these concepts about money, but you know, he gets money for birthday money or Christmas money or pop bottle money or stuff like this that he would get some money from. Anything that he does get, we make him count out 20% of that, and that goes into his piggy banks. And that's money that's long-term. He can't touch it. He knows that the rest of the money can go into his wallet and he can save up for whatever it is he wants to use that money for. And more lately, we've been trying to steer him away from small little purchases on toys, because he usually will save up like $100, but then he ends up spending it all. And just kind of reinforcing that just getting toys all the time isn't going to bring lasting happiness to him. And that focusing on maybe having a bigger goal, like saving up $1,000. And that way you could spend money on these little toys and not be left with no money in your wallet. And so he's kind of grasped onto that now. And that's his goal now, is to save $1,000 of his own money. And it's good because we can remind him when he does want to make those small purchases that it's going to take away from that goal. And I think he's starting to get it now. And yeah, that's our intention, that it would help him in the future make good decisions, right?
Yeah, no, that's great. And that may be a good transition into maybe our last point here is, if you're a grandparent, hopefully by now you've come to the realization that money doesn't always bring happiness.
Yes.
Something you just mentioned there, Regan. So this is another lesson that it's hard for a child to know. I think if I buy more toys, that's going to make me happier, right? So it's really hard to understand this idea that more is not necessarily better.
Mm-hmm.
So what are your thoughts on that idea of grandparents being able to kind of pass on that lesson that money doesn't necessarily buy happiness?
I mean, you may have lessons of their own. If you had any lessons of your own that you could articulate that to the child, that would obviously be very impactful. You could also use simple analogies. Like most kids are going to understand, hey, if I eat candy all day long, like I like candy, it gives me this short-term gratification. But for the most part, they should understand that, yeah, if I eat candy all day long, 24 hours a day, 7 days a week, in a matter of not too long, I'm going to start feeling really crappy. The gratification is going to dwindle away and I'm going to be left probably with a large dentist bill and potentially other side effects, right? And that can be applied to money. If you got money and every time you got money, you went out and spent it and bought frivolous things and you're left with nothing at the end of every month, over time, that's going to leave you financially not in a happy position, knowing that you haven't saved anything over the long run, right? So maybe that would be a good way to articulate that buying things doesn't necessarily bring happiness.
Yeah, I think that's great. And maybe other ways are just kind of putting it in a perspective for the kids today. They might think they're going to get a lot of joy if they can buy the new toy, but having them kind of reflect on their own experience of, is it more fun being at home playing with your new toy? Is it more fun when you're out actually playing with your friends? Maybe you just have a soccer ball or whatever it is. And like, where do you really get your enjoyment in life from? Is it always from the things or is it more from the people and the places and the activities that you're spending your time around?
Yeah, absolutely. I mean, my son's really into Hot Wheels. Well, he's kind of getting out of it a bit now, but he's still a pretty big Hot Wheels fan. And it's so easy to buy a Hot Wheels car at the store. They're like $1.50 or $2. Like, it's very easy just to always grab a Hot Wheels car when we're at the grocery store, even on the checking out, right? Because they always have at Safeway or places like that. They always have Hot Wheels right by the checkout counter. But now I'm explaining to him, like, if you bought that other Hot Wheel car, I mean, it's just going to go in the pile of all the other Hot Wheels cars that you have. And really, do you feel like you really need it? And I also explained to him that does take away money from his goal of $1,000. So I think there's always those, again, little opportunities that you can use to educate kids about money.
Yeah. It's funny you mentioned the Hot Wheels thing. My youngest son, he's 4. And he has probably 75 mini monster trucks.
Yeah.
And just for the record, I think my wife and I bought maybe one of those. They have all come from grandparents, which is maybe what urged me to talk about this today. But yeah, I mean, that's a great point. Is another monster truck really adding any value to your life at this point or making you any happier other than in the moment?
Yeah, exactly. Yeah. Maybe you'll be successful with those conversations. Maybe you won't. But I think the point is you're still having the conversation. And I think kids absorb a lot more of that than we give them credit for.
Yeah, and I think they probably absorb more of it from their grandparents too than their parents who are always on them about every little thing, right?
Yeah, exactly. You know, and in our client base, we see a lot of clients' kids, you know, now mature adults, but the parents that had really strong discipline with their money and or really good values with their money. I don't know how much they talk to their kids about money when they're growing up, but those lessons do stay with the kids, I think, for a large part. And those kids usually adopt those habits as well when they become mature with their money. So don't underestimate the lasting impact that these conversations are going to have on the kids or grandkids.
Yeah, that's true. And it's not just your words, kind of to your point there. It's also your actions and how you carry yourself in all areas of life, not just money.
Yeah, absolutely.
Okay. Well, I think that's probably good for today on this one. Regan, what do you think?
Yeah, I think there's many different ways that you can go about teaching a kid about money. There is a good program. It is Money and Youth program that's out there. That's free educational material on how to educate your kid about money. And it's for different age groups. And they have basically a curriculum in there. They say, well, if you are the facilitator, the person teaching it, here's the things to ask the kid or exercises to do. And then a kind of a framework on what kind of answers you'd be looking for from the child. And then again, this is all designed around educating our youth about money. So it's a really good program that I would encourage people to look at.
Yeah, we'll get that in the show notes for everybody.
Absolutely, yep. That does it. So I guess we'll close it off there, Joseph, and pick up on another day.
Sounds good. Thanks, Regan.
You bet. Take care. Bye-bye.
Investment services are provided through Matthews & Associates Investments of Aligned Capital Partners Incorporated, an approved trade name of Aligned Capital Partners, Inc., ACPI. Only investment-related products and services are offered through ACPI/Matthews & Associates, Investments of ACPI, and covered by the Canadian Investor Protection Fund. Tax planning, financial planning, and insurance services are provided through Matthews & Associates. Matthews & Associates is an independent company separate and distinct from ACPI/Matthews & Associates, Investments of ACPI. Matthews & Associates are not licensed tax professionals, and you should consult with your tax advisor before acting on any recommendations.
Visit retirementplanningsimplified.ca and join the Retirement Planning Simplified community, where we explore the complicated world of retirement planning while embracing life beyond the numbers. As a member of our community, you'll receive insights, tips, and the latest retirement planning tools straight from us to you.